B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Tim McManus.
The embedded man.
Just walked in. Just walked by. He was doing his podcast. I love T-Mac, right? He just walked by. So he's a great football guy. I like, we, you know, Jason and I talk to T-Mac on Fridays. And I enjoy the conversation because it's a football guy conversation.
Mm. Right? And he's Tim's level-headed.
He's very level-headed. Yeah. No, I appreciate
sometimes
that.
Sometimes I'm not.
We have polar opposite personalities. However, we see things usually similarly.
Mm-hmm.
So, T-Mac, it's way in here. And Tunis, I'm not forgetting you, Tunis. All right?
I am.
Do the Eagles need to revamp their entire running plan? All right? Which is less zone or no zone read. Very little of those shotgun runs, those zone read runs. And do they need to revamp it? And even the RPOs, like, I understand it's used to freeze the crashing end. I mean, that's what it's there for. However, I don't think it's effective with Carson. I just don't see it. It might have worked in rhythm with Nick Foles. I don't like it with Carson.
Not really.
And I think they need to change their running game. Is that too drastic, T-Mac?
You know, the RPO stuff seems more like a Nick Foles thing than a Carson Wentz thing. I definitely agree with you there. I don't know that you need to revamp the entire run attack, though. I think that, you know, it just needs better execution for me. And also, I think that there's a learning curve that's going on with Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
Where there were some holes that he could have taken advantage of, and he tried to bounce it out and go a little bit east-west instead of north-south.
And that ain't happening at the NFL level. He could outrun guys at college.
Yeah. And he even said, we were talking to him at his locker room yesterday, he's like, even in college, you couldn't really do that. And he just acknowledged that, you know, that was something where he has to plant his foot and go, you know, just has to take it north-south. And that's something, like, I've seen, you know, kind of panic over this guy. Like, why is he in there, and why are you guys so high on him? It's like, relax. It's, you know, he had a good opener, then he goes on the road. There's going to be some bumps there, but I think that Miles Sanders is going to be heard from in a nice way by the time that this season is said and done, and that you stick with the kid. You know, you don't abandon ship now. And I don't think that you need to overhaul everything that you're doing.
I'm not talking about personnel.
Yeah, I know. You're talking more scheme.
Philosophical.
I hate that run. The running back does not get the you talk to backs all the time. They like when the quarterback's on the center. They like that look. They can feel the look. You get a head start. You're moving forward. When you're standing still, it's hard for a back to be able to really kind of get that forward momentum and the eyesight. It takes a special back to be able to do that.
No, I think it's a valid point.
It's not Jordan Howard, by the way. He can't do that.
Yeah, and I don't know that they're going to, I mean, you can make tweaks without, you know, necessarily doing things completely differently. And so maybe they have to look at some of that. But I also think that while they're going to be without, you know, DeSean Jackson for the next 2 weeks, you're probably not going to have Alshon Jeffrey in this game. You know, Dallas Goedert is another piece to this whole thing that we need to address a little bit more, because
blocking element.
Yeah. Well, he's turned into a real nice blocker, and that calf injury is the same injury they had in the summer. And when we talked to him at his locker stall in the summer, he said that it was a lingering injury from previously.
Yeah.
So we're talking about something that hasn't gone away over a decent amount of time here with Goddard. And you're going to have to rearrange things, you know, to your point, Anthony, to an extent, if he's not in the lineup. And without those playmakers in the lineup, you know, this is going to have to turn at least a little bit more in the short term into more of a ground-based attack, don't you think?
Yeah, but the other thing, is the scripted plays in the beginning of games seem to lean more heavily on the run, too. And the success rate there with the scripted plays and the first, they haven't scored the first quarter point.
I know.
I mean, that's a huge issue.
Dude, here's what we discovered the other day, right? When you look at the draft, because during the press conference, Doug says, well, what do you mean? You know, we scored 7 times on first drives last year. And the year before, we did 8. We scored 8, right? So when you go back and look at the 7 times last year, Carson scored engineered points on his first drive 3 times. Nick Foles, 4 times, including 2 playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
So Wentz was 3 for 11, and Foles was 2 for 5, and then the 2 playoff games.
I think to
4 for 7.
Yeah, but to both of your points there, you know, there is a statistical thing about them running the ball more. You know, Ruben Frank unearthed that of where they have been leaning on the ground game more in the first quarter, and it's taken a while until they're getting into more of their aerial assault. And is that holding them back to a certain extent? That's one thing that they can look at. And to the scripted plays part, you know, that's a working theory of mine, where it seems to me that Wentz likes to go out there and ball, you know, where he, you know, if he's overthinking, he's not the full-on Carson Wentz, where he has, like, some power in his hands. He's got the freedom to operate, and that's when he's at his most effective. And so I just wonder if scripted plays are not the right thing for him.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Great point.
Listen, every coach scripts their plays, right? So every coach comes out with a game plan. And you can... I just think it needs to be a better script. I think Frank Reich really helped him come up with a game plan, devise a game. Devising a game plan is an art, right? It's an art. Trust me on this. I sat during the week with Andy Reid. Andy was great at coming up with a script. You can say about it, his in-game adjustments and going to the run, but when it came...
He was good in the beginning, he just wasn't great at the
end. When it come to his game scripts, Andy was a... I'll never forget what he used to, it was his favorite thing, because he loved to spend all night watching tape and coming up with his game plan. I remember him on that, the onside kick with the pickle juice. So you guys remember that game? The lure, the onside kick,
Dallas,
when they started off. He saw the gunner was cheating, and he saw it on there. So, like, that's the kind of mind he is. Doug's not that guy.
Well, it doesn't reflect well on coaching when they continue to come out and not be effective offensively. I mean, that goes back directly to coaching, because you are spending the entire week looking about, like, well, here's how we're going to attack. And it seems like it takes at least a quarter for them to understand what's coming at them and then making adjustments. So Peterson is showing to be excellent as an adjustment coach in game. And I don't think that was necessarily a strength of Reed's, right? I mean, he was more.
Well, I just said it. Yeah. I mean, I just said that he was, you can say what you want about his in game adjustments, but his game plan. And I think
Doug. Peterson might be a little bit of the opposite.
I think he's terrific at it. I also think Doug's best attribute, Doug is a great coach because he's a great leader. He's got an honest feel about him. Players buy him. He wore a uniform. He relates. His relatability.
And he takes input.
Is awesome. He does.
Yeah.
And think about this. You talk about in-game adjustments. How often? Now, again, I think Doug is so malleable that he allows Carson a certain freedom. And if you look at how the games go, you know, go back to week one. Kill, touchdown. Right, like, so he's trusting Carson to be able to get out of certain plays, get out of certain looks, and he's, you know, he trusts implicitly Carson.
But I think a lot of times, and I talked to Peterson about this last week, was, you know, when do you go to these packages where he's got multiple plays that he can go to? And he said when we get an up-tempo, usually, or when the offense is sputtering.
Ding, up-tempo.
Right, so maybe, you know, go to those earlier.
Like on an opening drive.
Yeah, and maybe you're going to find some more success. I don't think that there's this, like, exact recipe. I'm not suggesting that's an easy fix, but it's their job to do it. They have the personnel to do it, and they have to cater it to the specific quarterback and what he thrives on. And it seems like once you get into the mix of things, and he does have that kind of freedom, then he's a better quarterback. So maybe just let him go right from the shoot.
Yeah, and again,
it should be night at the improv.
Well, no, you don't need to go that far.
You know what I mean?
Well, you don't need to go that far. The point is that you need to game plan better for Carson. I think he understands how to game plan with Nick Foles. He's got to get a better feel of game planning with Carson. Yeah. I just think that, because so what you want, Reich, that 2 years ago, they were different. They were different.
Clearly.
And I thought I had to play. The other thing is, back to the run game. I'm not saying you need to revamp the whole thing completely. But the run styles, you also need to run plays for the back that you have. I go back to DeMarco Murray. And I never forget What was DeMarco Murray's strength as a running back? What was the one play that you know that the Cowboys ran all the time that was his strength?
What was it?
Stretch play.
Right.
Right? What did Chip Kelly never do because that wasn't his offense?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a total trick.
Because he couldn't run. He couldn't run out of shotgun. He's a guy who needed the quarterback under center. There's certain Jordan Howard is kind of that guy. Yeah. I'm not saying he's DeMarco Murray, but he's that guy. He needs to get better sight lines. He needs to have the quarterback under center.
There's a rhythm to it.
He has to have a forward momentum to maximize his talent.
I got you.
You on board?
I think some tweaks are in order.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
A little tweaks. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Yep.
I'm nervous, right, Timmy. T-Mac's I'm like, nervous. Right, so.
Let me get out of here.
All right.
Before I
check
I get,
out Embedded.
I get roped into something else.
check out.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Embedded on the 975thefanatic.com website. Tim does a great job, and we'll be reading them on ESPN.com as well. And we'll talk to Tim tomorrow on a Football Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.